My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
All right, here's the deal, bro. I want to preface all of this by saying I get it. I understand. Domantas Sabonis should have been an NBA All-Star. That is a fact that is nigh impossible to argue against. Okay? He played like an All-Star. He is playing like an All-Star. Should have been an All-Star. We'll dive into who he should have gotten in over, all that. Okay? Bang. De'Aaron Fox probably should have been an All-Star. If I said it on this show, I think he's making it. Like, put him in. He's in. Didn't make it. Which is kind of nuts, but it's fine. We'll talk about who he should have made it over. We'll talk about the All-Star selection process. We'll do all of that. And I get why it sucks. On the other hand, James.
However,
this is good for the Kings in every single way. The only way it's not good for the Kings is for selfish reasons of the fans. And that's right. You want to see your guys in big spots. You want to see them on the national stage. I totally get it. But what the Kings are gaining here, what Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox are gaining here is a week off. They get to chill. They get to go on vacation. They get to go be with their family. They get to rest. They get to take care of their bodies. They get to do that. And now they have the chip on their shoulder of wasn't named to the All-Star team. Those are all positives for the Kings moving forward. And the positive of them making it is A, being like, yeah, I had an All-Star. And you get to watch them play meaningless basketball for 8 minutes. And then it's just done. And then you're done.
Okay.
The benefits of them not going so dramatically outweigh the benefits of them going. But this is, end of the day, in the big picture, I think a good thing.
I agree, but like them getting a break is right. And both of these players, like statistically, both should have been in.
Yes.
Like, there's no question. Both should have been in. Yes. Like there has never been a player averaging 27 points with 5 assists on a top 5 team in a conference that did not make an All-Star team.
Right.
All-Star team.
Right.
But there's something that we all kind of live by. It's like the social contract, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we live our lives through basically a constrict of rules that we have to follow, right? Like, you can drive 100 miles an hour down the freeway, but you know there's a good chance you're going to get pulled over, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't just go to your neighbor's house and steal something off their front yard and put it in your front yard. The world evolves with a social contract. And by NBA standards, there is a social contract. There is an understanding that it doesn't matter how good your stats are. If you're on a bad team, you're probably not making an all-star. The only way that that doesn't happen is if you're just so overwhelmingly good that there's no way for them to ignore you, or if you're a legacy player who just happens to be on a team that went out and is no good anymore,
mm-hmm.
i.e.
Steph Curry. Mm-hmm.
So what I don't like about this particular day, yesterday, whatever you want to call it, like this 24-hour period, mm-hmm. is that the NBA breached the social contract with the fans, with the Sacramento Kings. Mm-hmm. And to me, there is like an injustice here that should be rectified. But now it's like, okay, you got in on an injury bid. And there might not be an injury.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know whether there's going to be an injury or not. But the fact that the Los Angeles Clippers have two representatives, and you can take the Minnesota Timberwolves, they're the number one seed in the West. Mm-hmm. And while I don't think Kat is an all-star in any stretch of the imagination, he spent 5 years of his career literally quitting on his team. And the vibes with him and coaching staff after coaching staff was so bad,
mm-hmm.
that like they actually, at one point, he just refused to play for like 30 games, saying that his knee hurt. They went through every test, every single thing that they could possibly go through, never found any reason for his knee to hurt, right? This is a player who has a long history of just doing whatever he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
He makes it because he's the number one seed, but then you get to the other players that make it instead of the Kings. And yeah, that's where, again, the NBA coaches have broken the rules of what is acceptable in the NBA. And you can't tell everybody you can't be an all-star because your team isn't good enough, mm-hmm. or you can't be an all-star because somebody else has better stats than you. Mm-hmm. You can't tell them that. And then when you have better stats and you're a better team, mm-hmm. you don't get in. So I don't care what anyone thinks about Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. Anthony Davis should not have been an all-star. His team is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And he has
one of the... Isn't all-star an individual thing, though?
It's not, though. Because that's not the contract that the NBA has. Yes, it should be an individual thing, but it's not.
Okay.
And so, yes, in by the numbers, the All-Star game should be about your individual accomplishments. Mm-hmm. But that is not the contract that the NBA has signed with fans for the better part of like 3 or 4 decades.
Mm-hmm.
Their constraints are very clear. You must have a team that's of this level, and you must have statistics that are of this level for you to get in.
To be clear, this is unwritten.
It's unwritten. It's the unwritten rules. But mm-hmm. you can't just flat out violate the unwritten rules and think that it's okay. Because then, like, what does it mean? Like, the Pelicans should be pissed as well.
Mm-hmm.
They should say, hey, yeah, the Kings probably have two all-stars, but number one, we beat the Kings a couple of times. But they should also be saying, the Kings should have one and we should have one. And players mm-hmm. like, again, like Paul George... Sorry, man, there's one legacy player that gets in this year. That mm-hmm. legacy, and realistically, there's two.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron James does not deserve to be an all-star because his team is not good enough.
LeBron James got voted in, though. He got voted in as a starter.
But that doesn't matter. His team is not good enough. He's in as a legacy player.
What are you talking about? How is it there is a voting process that involves fans, because this is a fan event and the fans are a big reason that LeBron James got voted in.
But the fan vote only counts for part of it.
Uh-huh.
The players and the coaches count for another part of it.
Uh-huh.
Well, no, the players and the media count for another part of it.
Uh-huh.
What I'm saying is that by the unwritten rules of the NBA, his team isn't good enough for him to be an all-star. But we're going to give LeBron James an all-star bid because he's LeBron James. And the same with Steph Curry. You're going to give those guys their all-star bids because they are of a certain... They've earned it.
And they're
over
good
the course
players.
Of their careers. They're good players, but in all honesty...
So your entire argument... Hang on. Your entire argument here is just that if you're a 7 or below seed, you don't get an all-star anymore?
Well, no.
That's ridiculous.
No, no, that's not my argument. My argument is that that is what the NBA has said for decades.
Uh-huh.
That's not what you get. If you're below a certain level, if your team is not good enough, you don't get in. And every once in a while, they make exceptions.
Sure.
And I'm A-okay with legacy players getting in.
Right. You're in your 20th year.
Yeah.
Hall
and he's
of Famer
still great. Like, don't get me wrong. LeBron James is still great. And in all... He deserves to be an all-star because he's still putting up the numbers. But what you can't do is you can't give a Lakers team that is barely in the playoffs a second all-star.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to give a legacy play, whether it's like to a player like Anthony Davis, mm-hmm. you can't do the legacy play. You already did it with LeBron James, and you already did it with Steph Curry. Hmm. Steph Curry stats, basically the same as De'Aaron Fox's. Mm-hmm. One of them plays on the fifth seed. One of them is, what, the 11th?
Yeah. 11th, 12th.
11th, 12th,
I think
not 12th. A good team.
Sure.
So that's my issue. It's not that you know, the Kings always get robbed or anything else. It's that there is a defined, this is how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a contract that we have with the fans that if your team is this good, they should have representation in the All-Star game. As
sure.
long as they have players that are good enough to be in the All-Star game.
Yeah, I don't, like I said, I am fully on board. Like, if you're making a list of all-star snubs, Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox are the top two.
1A, 1B.
Right, they're the top two. I frankly haven't dived into the East numbers yet.
Yeah.
So I mean, maybe there's somebody in the East that got, but in the West, they're 1 and 2. And
yes.
It's not particularly close.
No.
And
no.
A 5 seed should have at least one all-star. I'm right there with you. I think it's interesting, though, and this is something I saw some confusion about on the internet last night. This is coaches that pick
yes.
the reserves.
Yeah, the coaches pick the reserves.
This is not media.
Nope.
This is not fans.
Nope.
And it's not other players. This is coaches who pick the reserves. So I do think it's interesting that while we always talk about the national perception of the Kings, like, these are coaches who face this team, and is this a sign of what opposing coaches think about De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis?
Maybe it is. I mean, clearly they don't get in. So yeah, so if you're looking at it, you got to say, well, yeah, the coaches, for some reason, they don't buy it.
I also wonder how seriously they take this.
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of coaches just have their assistants
right.
or they have like the locker room attendant do it, whatever
right.
they, yeah. like they don't take it serious.
Yeah.
But that again is where we get into this weird area that these things actually matter for contracts and stuff. Like, you need to
sure
you should be taking this serious. And I know a lot of people are like, well, it doesn't really matter. They'll get in as far as like they'll be all NBA players. Like,
mm-hmm.
who made that guarantee?
Yeah,
who made that guarantee that they're gonna? They just showed you how they're gonna vote. What mm-hmm. do you mean they're gonna be all NBA players?
Yeah.
Just because they were in last year doesn't mean they'll be in this year. And
yeah.
if Anthony Davis is going to play 50 games, it doesn't matter what his stats are. They're going to give him a nod over Domantas Sabonis.
Well, they can't.
Well, 65.
Yeah.
65.
Yeah.
If he hits the magic number,
mm-hmm.
and then the Kings are going to have to hold out that Joel Embiid doesn't make it because he doesn't make it to the 65-game threshold, which he probably
yeah.
won't, and then he won't be able to be eligible for All-NBA.
This is the year that they're removing positions, right?
Yes, I think it is.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like I said, putting aside all the this is good news so long term and stuff, putting aside all of that,
yeah.
I was certain they were getting at least one.
At least
and
one.
That they got none is I'm already out on the All-Star game.
Yeah.
We've talked before about this. I just like I'll tune in, it's on in the background, but my heart and soul is not set on who makes and doesn't make the All-Star team.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, this is already kind of a sham is a lot, but whatever. It's a sham already with how the game is played. I went and looked at the box score to check how many minutes De'Aaron Fox played last year in the All-Star game.
That is
and the final score was like 184 to 179.
Yeah. And what did he play? Like
8 minutes.
8 minutes? Yeah. And he didn't even take a shot. Or if he did, he took one and it wasn't even, it was like haphazard. Like, no,
yeah,
I don't think he took a shot.
He didn't impact the game. In a game where there was 350 points scored. Like, it's silly. The game's silly.
I almost wonder if part of his, like, the way he approached the game last year is part of the reason why this is.
I have a hard time believing that.
I don't know.
I can't imagine the people selecting are like, you know what, De'Aaron, but remember what he did last year in his 8 minutes? Nobody's doing that.
No. It wasn't his stat line. It was the way he approached the game. Because his level of disinterest was palpable.
I don't blame him.
Yeah.
Anyways. All right. We've got a Kings game to talk about. We'll do that. We'll have plenty of more All-Star stuff coming. 916-909-1320. 916-909-1320. Manny, I see you on the line. We will get to you. And we'll look ahead to Kings Pacers. We've got All-Star stuff. We've got a 49ers check-in. Plenty to get to on a Friday on the Insiders. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2. Sacramento Sports Leader.
All right, we're in here. That's James Hamm, Sacramento Kings insider. You can subscribe to the Kings Beat. Go do that right now, kingsbeat.com. Get all the latest on the Sacramento Kings. I'm Kyle Madsen, and I have strong Kings opinions. Sacramento at Indiana tonight to take on Tyrese Haliburton and the Indiana Pacers. The Kings trying to get back in the win column after falling to the Miami Heat 115-106. The Pacers, on the back end of a back-to-back, they played the New York Knicks last night. The Kings, it's their first night of a back-to-back before taking on the Chicago Bulls. And I know this is not new, but I find it fascinating that the Kings and Pacers are just tied forever now.
Yeah.
Not tied like level-wise, they're tied together forever now.
Well, I don't know, because we did just find out that Tyrese Haliburton is an all-star, and of course the Kings don't have any all-stars.
Oh, so. You know what? Great point. Did the Kings lose the trade? 916-909-1320.
Indiana won the trade. Clearly. It's over.
No, but everything that happens now moving forward, and I know we've talked about the Haliburton and Sabonis trade and who won the trade, and they both won the trade, or nobody won it, whatever it is. Tyrese Haliburton would or wouldn't be this player without the move, and same with Sabonis, whatever. But everything that happens now, every time these two teams play, as long as Tyrese Haliburton and Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox are in the league, and then beyond that, because, I mean, there's these sliding doors moments, these butterfly effects in sports, where if the Kings don't trade for Domantas Sabonis, well, maybe they're not making the playoffs next year. Or, I'm sorry, last year. And maybe the team the Warriors played instead, maybe they beat Golden State and then beat the Lakers and they're going to the conference final. Like, there's so many different things that, and maybe the Pacers aren't setting a record for offensive output this year. There's so many things that happen outside of just that move for these two teams that just affect the NBA forever now.
No, it's very true. And I think that they will be tied together forever. I think we're always going to look back at that trade and, you know, I think realistically you have to get 2, 3, 4, 5, 8 years down the road to see who really, really won the trade. Mm-hmm. And look, Tyrese Haliburton is a tremendous player. He was a tremendous player in Sacramento. He wasn't quite the player he is now.
Sure.
But he was incredible, and you knew that his path to greatness was sitting right there in front of you.
The Pacers traded Domantas Sabonis for him.
They did.
Like, that's how good he was.
Yeah, they traded a two-time all-star at 25 years old.
Yes.
An all-star center at 25 years old. Yes. Yeah. So like he was really good. And that's why you had to give up something to get something. And for me, like I appreciate Tyrese Haliburton. Like his style of play is fun. His energy, the way he speaks to the media is amazing. His honesty was always spectacular. One of the best interviews that we've ever had in the league. Like I put him up, it for me, going through draft process for the last, you know, decade plus.
Yeah.
It's him and CJ McCollum are by far the two best draft like interviewees ever. And I mean, he's just so smooth. He gets it. And so for me, I definitely appreciate the Tyrese Haliburton era, but like so many other eras here in Sacramento, it came to an end.
Yeah. And now it's going to come up all the time, forever and ever.
Yeah.
And so now when these teams play, it's going to be a thing. And like I said, it's going to be as long as they're in the league and then once they're out of the league.
Yeah.
If the Pacers eventually win a title or if the Kings eventually win a title with one of those players on the team, like that is now stamped in NBA history as an league-altering move.
Yeah, the greatest thing that could ever happen to the league, not really, but would be for the Pacers and Kings to play in the NBA championship.
Oh, my God.
And just, like, put it all out there on display. Like, oh, look at this. Look at, look at that.
It already, we talk about the All-Star snub thing and the Kings' national recognition or respect or whatever. There was already talk when the freaking in-season tournament started about, hey, get Kings Pacers up against each other. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a, it's a very, very real thing. Projected starters for the Pacers, Tyrese Halliburton, of course, Buddy Hield, Aaron Nesmith, Pascal Siakam, and Miles Turner. The Kings, it's Fox, Herter, Barnes, Murray, and Sabonis. The Pacers are a weird team for me because I can't get a handle on whether they're good or not.
Oh yeah, they definitely feel like the 2020 Sacramento Kings.
But like better.
No, at this point that's right where the Kings were too. Like the Kings were like above 500, they were at the All-Star break, they were right there.
Mm-hmm.
Like that team, they didn't play any defense at all. They just ran you off the court.
Mm-hmm.
They're super fun. But, you know, maybe they weren't five games over at this point, but they were still a team that you, like, everybody in the league wanted to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to watch them because you have no idea what's going to happen on, from one night to the next.
Right.
Like, when you have 70 or 80 made baskets in a game or 70, you know, we're talking about even, like, 105 shots that are put up in a game. Man, there's all kinds of room for something great to happen. And that's what happens with the Pacers. Like the Pacers are a blast to watch. And again, they just made their big move to go get Pascal Siakam.
Yep.
That may be the move that legitimizes them as a true playoff contender this season.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, like this is a team that's going to be fun to watch for the next couple of years. And it's a frenetic pace. No defense played at all, but it is a lot of fun to watch.
To put their offense in perspective, their offensive rating, that is points scored per 100 possessions, according to Basketball Reference, is 121.4. It's the highest in the league and the highest ever.
Yeah.
The Kings last year set the record for offensive rating at 119.4.
Yeah.
According to Basketball Reference.
Yeah, it's a little lower on NBA. I think it's 118.6, something like that.
Sure.
But either way... Yeah, it's
This Pacers offense is better than what we saw from the freaking Kings last year.
Yes, but their defense is much worse. And I know that's hard to say that the Kings, their defense is worse than the Kings defense last year. No, it is.
Yeah, the Kings last year, just to, again, put this in perspective, Basketball Reference, offensive rating and defensive rating vary a little bit depending on the site you're using. I'm using BREF right now. The Kings were 116.8 defensive rating last year. That was 25th in the league. Oddly enough, just ahead of the Pacers. The Pacers this year,
119.7.
And it's 26th, which is exactly where they were last year in the league rankings.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, 119.7. That would be second to last. That'd be 29th last year.
Oh, that
just ahead of the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah, that's wild.
It's really, really bad.
Yeah, that's some really, really bad defense. So, yeah.
But despite all that, they have a... The Kings are 14th in offensive rating at 117.2, 17th in defensive rating at 116.5, 14th in net rating at plus 0.7. The Pacers are still 12th in net rating at plus 1.7. That's offensive rating minus defensive rating.
Yeah.
And that's why I can't get a grasp on whether they're good or not, because fundamentally, when a team is all offense, no defense, you go, well, that team's just not going to win. Like it's at some point you have to get stops.
Mm-hmm.
But the Pacers have figured out, at least through the first half of the year, plus a few games, how to just still score more than the other team. And maybe this all falls apart, and maybe they wind up 500. Or maybe they just keep scoring 130 a night and calling it good.
I think it really... like
it's not 130, but you get it.
Yeah, when you're talking about a team like the Pacers, this is a team, like last year's Kings team, they have to prove it after the All-Star break.
Yep.
When everything changes, and like you can say it doesn't, and I'm just making something up, trust me, when the real teams come out to play and everything gets more physical, the whistles go away, and it starts looking more and more like playoff basketball, and then a bunch of teams just like give up, and then a bunch of other teams are like building, that's where I want to see the Pacers and see if teams like, okay, we're going to take you serious now, and we're going to actually play defense, and we'll see how it goes now.
Or when you get into a playoff series, when you face the same team seven times in a row,
yeah,
eventually you have to get stops.
You do.
Because they're going to figure out what you're doing offensively, and they're going to make adjustments.
Well, that, and even in a seven-game series, everyone knows that like every NBA team is packed with scorers.
Mm-hmm.
There are guys that you would think that can't score at all, that you let people say, oh my gosh, that guy's a hack. He led every team in scoring that he ever played on leading up until the point he got to the NBA.
Yeah.
And so there are scorers hiding everywhere. I mean, it's like the Kings will face TJ McConnell tonight, who just tears them apart every single time they play. That guy, he can average 8 or 9 points a game for the season, maybe 10 points a game for the season.
Mm-hmm.
But when he plays against the Kings, he's a superstar. And that's just the way it goes. Like, some players are bad matchups, some players. But my point is that there are players hiding on every NBA bench, guys like that are just really, really top-end scorers.
Should I be saying, actually, that the Kings are facing TJ McConnell and the Pacers?
Yes.
Instead of Tyrese Haliburton and the Pacers?
Yes, you should.
Okay, got it. Okay, I'll make a note of that and do that moving forward. Thanks. The Pacers are going to be tough. The Kings are in Indiana tonight, game 6 of a 7-game road trip. Tip-off set for 4:30. How did the Kings get a win? We'll tell you that coming up, and plenty more Hoops talk on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
A couple of housekeeping notes before we get back into the All-Star snub thing. I want to remind everybody that today, 4 o'clock on this very radio station. So here's what's going on. James and I are doing this from 10 to noon.
Yep.
At noon, D'Lo and KC will take over. They are live at Sky River Casino out there in Elk Grove. Highly encourage you to come out. 32 Brew Street, incredible spot. There's a bar, there's great food, and then there's a stage that D'Lo and KC do a live show from. The atmosphere is always out of control. A bunch of people from the Chatty House pull up, bunch of listeners pull up. Highly, highly recommend going out there to Sky River Casino. It's a beautiful setup, great spot.
Amazing.
It is such a good time. I can't wait. I'm pulling up. I will be there. Second thing is shout out to Ramsey and Katrina from the Chatty House. They just dropped off some Bad Baker's donuts, pastries, and other baked goods for us, and I can't wait to dive in. Oh, if my. I don't make it to the next segment, that's why. I might just be in a food coma.
It's very possible that both of us will be in a sugar coma today.
1,000%. So shout out to Ramsey and Katrina. Appreciate y'all for pulling up, and they will be out there at Sky River. I said, hey, you coming tonight? And they were like, yeah, we're on the way.
They're on their way right now. Yeah, that's stopped in Roseville, even though they don't live anywhere near Roseville or up the hill.
Yeah. So appreciate them. Appreciate you guys, and hopefully see everybody out at Sky River. If you see me, say what's up. If you see,
I don't think I'm going to be there. TBD. I will say TBD, but okay. It's a trek for me to get there, and right. I have to go home after the show.
Right.
Which means I've got that would put me at like an hour and 20 minute drive to get there and then an hour and 20 minute drive home.
See, for me, it's on the way home.
Yeah.
Like it's a little out of the way, but it is in the general direction of my home. So it's much easier for me to get there.
Got
but
it.
If you see, if James happens to pull up and you see him, make sure to say hi. Even if he has a strong Lonzo Ball take before you want to go say hi to him.
That's right.
All right.
Strong to quite strong.
The Sacramento Kings are at Indiana tonight, but of course the talk of the town is the all-star snubs of Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox.
Should we have to break in. We have breaking news. The Oakland A's have acquired right-hander Ross Stripling in a trade with the San Francisco Giants for minor league outfielder Jonah Cox.
Wow, this is big time.
This is how championships are built.
Yeah,
right here.
All right. So let's, you know what? Hey, got to put a pin in the De'Aaron Fox, Domantas Sabonis thing. I mean, how important is that compared to the addition of Ross Stripling to this Oakland Athletics rotation? James, your thoughts?
Hang on. Let me look up who Josh Stripling is.
Ross Stripling. Los Angeles Dodgers legend?
Yeah. There we go.
Toronto Blue Jays legend?
Yeah, he was 0-5 with a 5.36 ERA last year.
That's
he started 22. He played in 22 games, started 11 for the Giants. 89 innings pitched, 70 strikeouts. And he gave up 20 home runs in 89 innings. So that's not a good sign for our friend Ross Stripling, who is 34 years old.
It's a complete crap.
Because we are building a championship contender with 34-year-old fifth starters.
It's a clown show, bro. You want to know my thoughts on the Ross Stripling trade?
Okay, let's hear it.
Sell the team, dude.
Sell
That's
the
what
team,
I got
dude.
For you.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry to break shoot. In with breaking news. I'm sorry.
No, dude. Anytime there is news of that magnitude, please get it on the air ASAP. Sacramento's sports leader. We got to make sure that breaking news is brought to you by BetQL. Download the BetQL app today. All right. Eric, don't turn it. Eric B in the Chatty House says he's about to turn us off. That's fine. All right. before we dive in, Manny, you're on ESPN 1320. What's up? Hey, Manny.
Hey, what's up, Kyle?
Chilling, bro. What do you got for us?
Two things. One, shout out to Katrina and Ramsey. First, don't ever tell anybody where Ramsey is. Because he doesn't like people to know his location. And I know they'll have donuts there for the Chatty House because they love us, right?
Yeah, big
now,
time.
Regarding the All-Star game, here's one thing that for me is a fallout that I hope doesn't happen. But in this age of players being on social media. They're branding themselves, right? It's an important part for a lot of these players. That portion is, how does this affect free agency? How does this affect people wanting to sign in Sacramento, where they feel like they might not feel recognized or feel their total worth as a player? This could have ramifications on that end of it, of other players even wanting to play here. Hmm. And that's one of my biggest worries about this.
Thanks, Manny. I have a response to that.
I want to hear it because I think it's a great point.
It is. And it absolutely is. But the way you get on the map is you win in the playoffs, man. That's what all of this, and I know that's annoying to hear, and I know it's frustrating, but that is, if the Kings go to the second round of the playoffs this year, and then go to the finals next year, and then they're consistently in that mix, and then in 3 years or 4 years, they win a championship, not a single player that wants to play here is going to go, yeah, but remember that one time they didn't have an all-star? That's not going to be a thing. But I get it. I get why it's a concern right now today.
I get what you're saying, but you're talking about a legacy team that always has this as an issue, that you're underappreciated because you play in Sacramento, that you don't get endorsement deals because you play in Sacramento, that you're not in the spotlight because you play in Sacramento. And so while I get what you're saying, I would say that 36 or 37 or 38 years, whatever the math is, of being in Sacramento would say that might not be completely the way that it's played out.
But they haven't won a playoff series in 20 years.
No, I get that.
Like,
but even when they did, when they won they're in the playoffs for 8 consecutive years, Vlade Divac is still the best free agent signing this franchise has ever had. And that happened in 1998 before the run. There's never been another free agent that was better than that. And people can say, well, Malik Monk could get there.
He's been a nice player.
He's a nice player. He could get there.
Yeah.
But like the biggest money player they ever signed was George Hill, and they had to overpay George Hill by like $14 million to get him to come to Sacramento. Right. Like you signed Vince Carter, right? Z-Bo. You got those guys when they were done. They were aged out.
But I think I would... And maybe this is a chicken and egg thing, but I would argue that the non-all-star aspect of this, it's not like that's going to be the reason, but I think that it might be. let me see if I can back this up. Being in Sacramento might be the reason that De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis weren't also. In fact, you know what? I'm going to say it was the reason.
Okay.
If you picked up the Kings and dropped them in Madison Square Garden and picked up the Knicks and dropped them in Sacramento, Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox are both all-stars. Shoot, yeah. Keegan Murray might be an all-star in that situation.
Yep.
But they're in Sac. Okay. And I understand that, and I'm here. I'm with you. But I don't believe that De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis not making the all-star team this year, I don't think that is what's going to be the thing that free agents are like, actually, you know what? Never mind. I don't want to go there anymore. If free agents already didn't want to come here, that's already the case.
I get that. I would even say that like Pascal Siakam would have been like the true test, right?
Sure.
If Pascal Siakam would have been, he's a guy who has been an all-star, but at this point is more French all-star than he is a true all-star, which again, he didn't make the all-star team.
Right.
Right. And he may not make another all-star team the rest of his career. But if you put him on the Los Angeles Lakers right now, he makes the All-Star team. And it's even if they're a bad team, you know? And so if you put him on the Phoenix Suns, he might make the All-Star team. Mm. You know, so I think if you're Sacramento, it has to weigh on you.
Also, like, championship winner, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's got a perfectly fine resume. Mm-hmm. And if I'm him and I'm trying to build a Hall of Fame resume, then I need to go where there's going to be an All-Star, where I can go be an All-Star. And that might be in Indiana, but I don't know. I mean, he's going to play in a brand of basketball that's like crazy fun, and he would be the second option, where in Sacramento he's going to be the third option.
Yeah.
And so I get why he might not have wanted to sign long-term in Sacramento. I also get why the Kings wanted nothing to do with a contract that went up to $60 million at some point.
Yeah, so, no doubt.
No, I mean, on paper, it sounded like a good idea, but in reality, I don't think that there was a common ground.
Yeah.
But if I'm Siakam again, these things do play into your head. Like, how many if I'm trying to get to a Hall of Fame career and I need all-stars to get there and I need all-NBAs to get there, can I get there in Sacramento?
Sure. Like, and this is, that's just the small market problem, right? Like, that's the thing that Oklahoma City deals with. That's the thing that Memphis will deal with and New Orleans. And I mean, Zion Williamson wasn't out of his rookie year and it was already like, okay, how do we get him to New York?
Yeah.
Like, LeBron had to leave Cleveland, went to Miami, came back to Cleveland, and then went, all right, now I'm going to LA.
Okay, but...
And that's, this is just a perpetual small market issue.
Yeah, but I would say that, like, if you're going to put up stats like Sabonis and Fox did, like, where is the Damian Lillard love? Because it took Damian Lillard a little time to get in, but once he did... It didn't matter whether they were a champion. I mean, they went to one Western Conference Finals, but overall, they weren't they weren't great every year. They didn't put up 60 wins, all that stuff. But sure enough, he makes it every year. So there is like a stigma when it comes to a team like Sacramento. And it's not just the fact that you're a smaller market. It might not even be. It's more about your history of not being a good team. And so I get it. I would just, I do agree a little bit with Manny there. Where I think that this is something that does matter. It does matter to players. And I think De'Aaron Fox signing with Under Armour, it really does mean a lot. It means a ton to not just De'Aaron Fox and his family. It means a ton to the Sacramento Kings because now you've just learned that that's possible as a Kings player.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. And I don't, like I said, I don't necessarily disagree. Like I had said, I had said at the top of the show that the only negative here is that Kings fans don't get to see their dude in the playoffs. And Manny brings up a good point. That is objectively, if you're a player who wants to make all-star teams and you're going to look at Sacramento and you're going to go, man, they got Domantas Sabonis did what and De'Aaron Fox did what?
Yeah.
They couldn't get in. Like, dang, like, that's tough. But on the other hand, I don't think that I have a hard time believing that any player who was like, you know what? Any guy, anybody who's about to be a free agent who's looking at Sacramento and going, dang, you know what? They can pay me, and I think I can help that team. They play a really good brand of basketball. I think I could really help out there. We could try and win a title there. I don't think any player who was already thinking that, and I think there are some who are, I don't think anybody's looking and going, oh, actually, never mind. I don't think that anymore because of all-star snubs.
No.
I think... But on the other hand, I get why it... perpetuates the don't go play in Sacramento.
Yeah, and
I very much get that.
I would say maybe this was tested and it proved to be the case this last year where Kyle Kuzma had an option to go to Sacramento and chose to go back to Washington, a team that was not going to be very good. Now you could say that that's partially because that's just Kuzma's mentality that he chose to go back to a team that had no chance of being any good. And maybe he thought he could do something different. Maybe he thought he could average 30-something a game and they would be good. Him and Jordan Poole could become this electric scoring duo. Maybe that's where he thought. That's where he went.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he did choose a market that was a bigger market, but also a bigger metropolitan city. And he chose to not come to Sacramento, where I believe it's almost like I'm almost positive there was a clear path for him to come to Sacramento.
Okay.
I don't know.
I
whether it's about all-stars or not, because the Kings had two all-stars last year, and that kind of proves the point that, well, maybe it doesn't matter because he's like, hey, I could go to the all-star game and because they had two all-stars last year.
I think it's worth... So, two things. One, I think Kyle Kuzma is just kind of an interesting dude. And
I agree.
And I don't know his mindset at all. But it's also worth noting that the Wizards, I think, were trying to paint a picture of, hey, it's you and Jordan Poole. Look, we're going to bring in Tyus Jones. Like, we got, who's their...
Daniel Gafford.
Denny Avdija.
Denny Avdija, yeah.
I was thinking Alperen Şengün, but that's Houston.
Yeah, but did you ever see Mr. Bean? Like, the movie Mr. Bean?
Oh, God, not in a long time.
Okay, do you remember, like, he gets... he ruins a painting, and then, like, when the painting... He, like, accidentally got the painting wet.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, and he tries to fix it.
And then he draws, like... I mean, that's the Wizards in this scenario.
Yeah.
Like you said, they're trying to paint a picture. They try to paint a picture, but it literally has like a giant cartoon nose.
Yeah, right.
And like it's drawn with a Sharpie.
Right. No,
and the rest of the painting is all beautiful in paint, but you know.
But keep in mind, we have to take the context out of, and I don't want to get too far down this road because who gives a damn about the Sixers, right? Or Wizards, right?
Wizards, yeah.
But you have, hey, Jordan Poole was great the season before. He got punched in the face, had a bad season. We're going to get him out of there and he's going to be good again.
Mm.
Tyus Jones is the reason that the Grizzlies were able to survive without John Morant. It's put him in a bigger role. And Kyle, you were going to be the centerpiece wing player. Let's go. They were not supposed to be 9-38 or whatever they are now. Like, they weren't supposed to be this bad.
They were supposed to be like a 30 to 33 win team.
Right.
They weren't supposed to be a 23 or 24 win team.
This was supposed to be a year where you were building towards something bigger, and it's very clear that's not going to work.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of worth. But again, maybe Kyle Kuzma is just a weirdo. Oh, Leezy dropped off. I was gonna have Leezy come on. 916-909-1320 916-909-1320 You have an interesting note here.
Uh oh.
About. No, it's not.
No, I'm just like, oh, I need to go read my notes.
No, and I genuinely hadn't even thought about this. That De'Aaron Fox for the last month or so has just been okay. And has nights like the one he just had in Miami where, he's fine.
Yeah.
Miami was bad, but he's not typically bad when he has an off night. It's just kind of like, meh. He's okay. After being an MVP type player for the first couple of months. So I do wonder when it comes down to that, if he was averaging, what's he at, 27.2 right now?
Yeah, he's at 27.2, 4.1 rebounds, 5.5 assists, shooting 46.7% from the field, 38% from three.
Right, the stats are there. So I'm going to say this, fully acknowledging that he is the first player ever to average 27 points and 5 assists on a team that is the 5 seed or better.
Yeah.
And not make the All-Star team.
Yep.
I acknowledge that fully. So maybe there's no statistical argument that I'm going to make that would have De'Aaron Fox in the All-Star game here. Maybe he was just doomed because he wears purple and black. Maybe that's what it is. But real quick.
Go ahead.
But if he was still averaging 29.5, 30 points, I have a very, very hard time believing he's not going to Indiana.
No, I'm with you. I could see that. And in the month of January, which is 15 games that he's played, mm-hmm. he's averaging 22.5 points, 4.5 assists, 3.3 rebounds per game. And, you know, to be honest, the Kings have been hit and miss. I think that the erratic play of the Kings, mm-hmm. This month he's shooting 43.4% from the field and 32.6% from three. Like, I get it. Like, he had a bad month of January,
mm-hmm.
and he allowed that to happen. Like,
sure.
Whatever it is, whether he ran out of gas or, you know, the weight of carrying a team and scoring 30 a night was just too much, or...
Did he tank his own All-Star chances on purpose because he doesn't want to go? James, your thoughts?
No, Kyle. No.
I was joking.
But here's the thing, Kyle. I can get that. You could say, hey, look, he had a bad month of January, and that cost him his All-Star bid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the problem that you have with that mentality. It's that the month of January for Domantas Sabonis is one of the most incredible months that you're ever going to see. So mm-hmm. if we're going to weight somebody's All-Star bid on what they did in the month of January,
mm-hmm.
and a guy averages 20.8 points, 14.5 rebounds, and 9 assists per game, in 15 games, mind you.
God.
If that's what you're going to base it on, and let me add to it, he shot 66.5% from the field. Kyle, what do you think Domantas Sabonis in 15 games in the month of January shooting from three?
Oh, it's insane. I don't want to say a number because if I go too high, then it's not fun anymore. So like 43%.
How about 71.4% in the month of January?
The number I was going to say that I thought was too high was 56%.
Okay. He's 10 of 14 from the field. He's leading the league in rebounds.
From three. 10 of 14 from three.
From three. Yeah. He's leading the league in rebounds. He's actually scoring. He's averaging 20.8 points a game. 9 assists per game in the month of January. In 15 games. We're not talking about a small sample size. So, again, if you're going to say that Fox doesn't make it because his January was bad, then you can't, like, take that away from Sabonis. He's been one of the best players in the NBA in the month of January. He should be considered for the the NBA player of the Western Conference player mm-hmm. of the month mm-hmm. for January. His stats are astronomical.
They're crazy.
Yes.
They're crazy.
I mean, a triple-double, basically.
I'm not going to sit here and do the, like, I'm going to take this side of the argument thing just to play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have a good argument. I was on this station saying I thought they'd both get in and they both should.
Yep.
But if De'Aaron Fox hadn't made it, then maybe you go, okay, well, you know, you kind of look at the position and you got this guy in and that guy in and okay, like, all right, fine. I can get there. But with Sabonis, I don't have anything for you.
Yeah, to me, that's the one that's the embarrassment.
And like, so, you know what, here's because I don't think that anybody's super interested in going to a press conference for an opposing coach at Golden One Center and going, hey, who'd you vote for?
Yeah.
I don't think that's, but especially by the time the Kings get home, it'll be like February 7th. It'll all have fine. But I would love to hear from Mike Brown. Like, when All-Star voting comes up, what's your process? Because yeah. It might be, I give the paper to John in sales.
Yeah.
Right. Like, this guy, Dan, who just started working here, really wanted to do it, so I let him do it. Or does he go, I sift through the numbers and I really pour over it? Because I don't think that's what happens. I'm guessing whoever does the picking, whether it's a coach or whoever, they look at the list and they go, well, Anthony Davis, that's an all-star. And, well, okay, well, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, they got to get in. Well, Steph Curry, okay, he's got to get in. Like, I think that's probably literally more the process than, like, going, okay, let's see, who's not? Oh, look at Sabonis. Oh, my God, all those triple-doubles. Look at it. Oh, January. Yeah. I don't think it would be nice if it was like that, but I just don't think it is.
We keep checking off the boxes of people who shouldn't be voting. You know what I mean? We're like, hey, the fans should not really have a say in this. the fans vote is ridiculous. And not only that, but like there are people who have bots out there or like vote farms mm-hmm. that are like
Andrew Wiggins made the All-Star team because a member of BTS told people to vote for him.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Right?
I think it was BTS.
Well, sure. I blame BTS, and we can't have BTS on the radio on our intros anymore.
False, first of all.
I get what you're saying, but like we already got to the point where the fans shouldn't have a vote, right? The media, I like maybe they're objective, but again, you don't want the media controlling who makes what money down the road for all-star appearances and not all-star appearances. I'm pretty sure that we looked at this yesterday. Domantas Sabonis just lost $1.3 million because of the coaches.
Wait, what? How?
He has a bonus clause. If he makes the All-Star team, he makes $1.3 million.
Excuse me, real quick. It was Bam Bam from GOT7, not Sugar from BTS. Go on.
Okay.
Very important that we're accurate on the, that we're accurate. On the insiders.
Yeah. No, like Sabonis has a $1.3 million bonus for making the All-Star team. He just lost it. And it's a bonus that is an expected bonus.
A sub bonus.
There it is. But yes.
Sorry.
So I like these things shouldn't really matter, but the coaches just took $1.3 million out of the hands of the
question.
Sabonis family.
In the NFL, when a player doesn't reach some incentive clause, the team can still pay them for reaching the incentive.
Okay.
Richard Sherman had a number of snaps played clause that he fell like 20 snaps short of 1 year. Like it was very, very close. And the Niners just said, here you go. It counts against the cap and here's your bonus. Can the Kings, is that legal in the NBA? Do you know?
I don't think it is. I need to ask somebody because there's this thing that happened in Sacramento. It was Buddy Hield's last year in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
Well, his last full season, right?
Okay.
Buddy Hield had in his contract written that if he played over a certain amount of games and he shot over 85%, he shot 85% from three, that he would get a certain dollar bonus
mm-hmm.
in the final game of the season. So first of all, God bless Buddy Hield, because Buddy had this really fun thing about him that he didn't like to go to the free throw line at all. Like, avoided contact at all costs. Even though the fact that he's a phenomenal shooter, he didn't want to get to the line for whatever reason. He doesn't get fouled throughout his career. So he had clearly understood where he was. He was over 85% coming into the last game of the season. Kyle, this is some of this. It makes sense. Like, if I play this out for you.
Okay.
The previous four games leading up to the final game of the season, Buddy Hield did not go to the free throw line once. He had got himself to his number, and he had not gone to the free throw line. We get to the final game of the season.
I respect this so much.
Yes, this is Buddy Hield in a nutshell. I could tell you this season, his final season, full season in Sacramento, I think he had like 32 games where he did not shoot a free throw.
I know I'm not supposed to, but I love Buddy Hield. Go on.
In the final game of the season.
Yeah.
He gets fouled shooting a three and doesn't want it. Like, no, I didn't get fouled. Gets fouled shooting a three. Steps to the line. You can see the little tiny hamster in his head, running on the treadmill, like, oh, no. Bricks the first free throw.
Oh, no.
He hits an X2, drops to 84.6% from three. And From the free throw line. For the next, I don't know, 15 minutes of the game, he does everything in his power trying to draw a foul. He's diving into people. He's trying to get back to the line. Never gets to the line. Finishes season at 84.6 and does not get his bonus. So I would like to know if the Kings actually paid his bonus or not. But that is Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield, everybody. Buddy Hield.
You know what? Buddy Hield gets some applause for that. And I love this so much. Thank
you. Yeah.
You could tell me anything about Buddy Hield on the basketball court like that, and I would just believe it. I love him so much. Like I said, I know I'm not supposed to. Hey, we're giving away a Kings jersey. We're going to do that next. And also, the Super Bowl is next week. Like, this time next week will be like full-blown Super Bowl preview.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got a couple of updates for you and some updates on your Las Vegas Raiders. They've got a coaching staff coming together. We'll talk about all that next on The Insiders. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2. Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.